Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Secret of the Lachish Letters by Erwin Gonschak, is the last in this series of Eternal Light dramas of great archaeological finds of modern times. It is based on Voices from the Past by Azriel Eisenberg and on the Lachish Letters by Professor N. H. Torchina, published in 1938. Hello. What have we here?
What is it, James?
Piece of broken pottery.
Oh, may I have a look at it?
Careful now. Might be some writing on it.
Oh, I think you're right.
Hello. More of the same here.
You think you struck something important?
I can't say.
You don't want to jinx it, huh, James?
Oh, come on, Magnus. First, let's gather up the pieces.
Quite a lot of jar fragments.
Most of them are ruined, though, badly charred. Must have been quite a conflagration here back in the old days.
Here's another. That makes 16.
All right, Magnus. Let's take them into the camp house and wash them off. Got an urge to take a look at them right away.
The year was 1935. I was a young scientist working with the Wellcome Archaeological Research Expedition to the Near East. The director was James Leslie Starkey of Great Britain, one of the best men in the field. He had learned his trade well from the Dean of Palestinian Archaeologists, Sir W.M. Flinders Petrie. At the time I speak of, Starkey had been digging in a mound called Tel El Duir for about 2.5 years. It is located a few miles outside of the town of Beersheba, in the Negev country, south of the Old Kingdom of Judah. It is one of the oldest battlefields in the world. Already the diggings had turned up relics of as far back as 4000 BC, when the region was controlled by the Canaanites. But it was nothing compared to what Starkey found that day. And that is the day the mystery of the potsherds began for me, and I dare say for quite a number of other interested people throughout the world. Filtered water, James?
Right, Magnus. Can't take any chances now.
No brush?
I'll find the forefinger is best for this. Just erase a dot or part of a line or add a piece of grit or scratch, and you have a different meaning in Hebrew.
Oh, so you think it's Hebrew?
I'm not saying anything yet.
Oh, but why, James? You can see the text is clear as day on that one.
I know. Yes, might have a go at it.
Well, what does it say?
It looks as if iron ink was used. Make a chemical analysis for age. Strokes indicate reed pen. Have to have some micrological tests taken.
Oh, look here, James. I can see that you're reading that thing, but don't keep me in suspense. Tell me out with it. What does it say?
My knowledge of Hebrew is spotty, but as far as I can make out, it appears to be some ordinary business accounts, or perhaps magical charms, or perhaps...
Perhaps what?
Well, that's as far as I'm going now, but... Magnus, I want you to see that all the soil that was dug where we found these shards is passed through a sieve. I even want the dump head recovered and screened.
All right, James. But where are you going now?
To Jerusalem. I'm taking these fragments to Father Vincent, the great authority on Palestine archaeology and Semitic philology.
Where did you find these, Monsieur Starkey?
Father, so it doesn't seem as if I'm influencing your judgment. Would you please tell me what you think they are first?
Yes, I understand. Quite right. Were you able to date them?
I studied two of them last night.
Yes?
I would say ancient Hebrew, 6th or 7th century B.C.
Long live the king. That's about what I thought.
Now, tell me where you found them.
Well, digging under the old Persian road in front of Tel El Duir.
Perhaps, Monsieur Starkey, you may now call it ancient Lachish.
You really think so? I had a hunch that's what the mound was.
The references on the shard seem to indicate that, and they appear to refer to actual incidents recorded in the Bible.
When the king of Babylon's army was fighting against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah, for these alone remained of the cities of Judah as fortified cities.
Jeremiah chapter 34, 7th verse. Yes, I believe that was the period when these letters were written.
Letters? You think they're letters?
So they appear to be. Monsieur Starkey, I suggest you visit Harry Torchiner, a professor at the Hebrew University. I'll give you his address. I believe he'd be very anxious to see what you have here.
In the second week of February 1935, Professor Harry Torchiner, Bialik Professor of Hebrew at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, consented to undertake an examination of Starkey's findings. A few days later, he obtained leave from the university to go to London. There, he conducted infrared and ultraviolet light tests, made various photographic experiments, and closely studied the composition of the shards. 5 weeks later, he returned to Jerusalem.
Starkey, your find consists of about 100 more or less readable Hebrew lines written during the time of Jeremiah the prophet. I have a copy for you.
Petrie, you thought we'd eventually come across something like this. We've found Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian writings with scattered references to the Israelites, but nothing by the Jews themselves.
These are definitely Jews writing about biblical events. Besides the Siloam inscription, nothing such as this has ever been uncovered before.
Father Vincent was right about there being letters.
Yes. Probably broken pottery was used instead of papyrus because of wartime shortages.
Fortunately for us, because the fire would have destroyed the papyri.
If you notice, it appears to be a file of correspondence received by a certain Yahush, perhaps the military commander of Lachish, from his subordinate Hoshea, who was in charge of an outpost to the north. When reading them, I came across a number of curious items.
Such as, Professor?
The letters all seem to have been written hastily and under great stress. For example, misspellings corrected by placing the omitted letter above the word.
Well, the fact the Babylonians were breathing down their necks could have affected their literary composure.
And this Hoshea, the subordinate who sent the letters, he always seems to be in hot water, unsure of himself, always defending his action to his superior Yahush. Unfortunately, we don't have Yahush's replies.
Nothing of his has turned up yet at the site.
It's strange that the letters are only from Hoshea, and that they're all together. Why are not letters from others found? And why would someone think Hoshea's letters important enough to be saved and kept together?
Professor, it sounds as if someone was keeping a dossier on Hoshea.
Exactly what I thought. You say you found them under the old Persian road?
Yes, the Babylonians used the site of Lachish as an administrative center. Digging under it, we came across the debris of a room near the outer wall of ancient Lachish. It might have been a guard room.
And all Hoshea's letters were found in this room, a guard room used before the Babylonians destroyed the city.
What are you thinking, Professor?
In biblical days, the region of the gateway was a meeting place for the city elders, and oftentimes justice was dispensed by the Jews at this place.
So you believe the room where we found the ostraca might have been used as a courtroom?
It is quite possible that Hoshea's letters were brought there as part of evidence to support certain charges made against him.
What was his crime?
Merely a guess, Starkey, but it might have been a case of suspected treason. Treason against the state.
What do you intend to do now, James?
Back to the mound, Magnus. 18 acres of it, you know. Many years of work ahead.
And the secret of the Lockheed Schlevers? Do you think the answer lies buried there somewhere?
Perhaps. We'll keep looking. We may find some more pertinent material. But I tend to think we'll have to look elsewhere for the explanation.
Where?
In the quiet of some scholar's study, the professor's seminar. Magnus, I think it's up to the academic world now.
So, in the year 1935, James Leslie Starkey returned to his work of systematically excavating the ancient city of Lachish near the Negev. Three more letters of the Lachish correspondence came to light in 1938. That same year, Starkey left the camp at Tel el-Dawir to attend the opening of the new Palestine Archaeological Museum in Jerusalem. On the road, that kindly man, with an insatiable desire to learn more about the Bible, was killed by a gang of armed bandits. Work at Lachish ended with his death. However, the ancient letters that he had uncovered continued to re-echo through the chambers of biblical exegetes in many nations. The cryptic messages of Hoshea to Commander Yaush.
To my lord, Yaush, may God cause my lord to hear tidings of peace this very day. May God afflict those who report any evil rumor about which you are not informed. Let my lord Yaush know that we are watching for the signals of Lachish according to all the miraculous signs which my lord has given, for we cannot see Azekah. My lord Yaush, now that I have returned the letters to you, may God cause you to see the truth of the matter. How can I benefit or injure the king?
Puzzling, difficult to understand, parts missing. And the scholars pondered long on their meaning and offered proposals for the reading of the correspondence. Professor Torchina's original opinions underwent change in a revised edition of 1940. Arguments flew back and forth in the journals and across the oceans, one contradicting the other. And I, having a personal interest in the findings, read them all and felt sorry that old Starkey wasn't around to enjoy the fruits of his labor and to join in the search. Also, during my reading of the different interpretations, I kept warning myself of the perils which beset any attempt to connect archaeological material with specific events or persons in the Bible. Still, intrigued by the hints of drama in the letters, I couldn't help but reconstruct in my own mind the courtroom scene as it may have been acted out more than 2,500 years ago in ancient Lachish.
Good day, Jezaniah.
What's good about it, Courier? It may be our last.
Oh, what have you heard?
The Babylonians are marching toward Lachish. Some believe it is only a matter of hours now.
The city will not fall. Our walls are impregnable. Our spirit must be equally strong.
God be willing. Whose trial are we hearing today?
A certain military captain, Hoshea by name, commander of the outpost to the north, Kiryat Yaharim.
But this outpost has fallen.
Yes, and I believe that is one of the reasons for his trial.
Enough, Correa. Let us not talk any more of it. If we are to judge the case fairly, then it is best that our minds remain open.
It's hard to be so these days. One does not know who is a friend and who is a traitor. Conditions are so chaotic, so out of order.
Perhaps we are all being judged.
Aha! It appears that some evidence has been brought in, some document to be used in the case.
Yes, and here I believe comes the accused under guard.
All right. You see, Jezaniah, a special prosecutor has been assigned by the king. He must consider it very important to send his own representative to conduct the inquiry.
Shh, it's beginning.
Please tell the city elders your name.
Hoshea, my lord.
And your position?
Military commander of Kiryat Yaharim.
That is former military commander. Is that not right?
Yes, my lord.
It is the king's belief that your actions led to the fall of your post. And that is the point of this trial. Hoshaya, you are accused of treason. What do you plead?
Innocent, my lord. Innocent before the almighty Lord who judges us all.
Show the letters written on the pieces of pottery to the accused. Are they yours, Hoshaya?
Yes, my lord.
To whom were they sent?
To Yahush, commander of Lachish, and my immediate superior.
City elders, hints of treason are to be found in these letters. You will be permitted to examine them in due course.
My lord, may I say something about the letters to the elders?
You may.
These letters were written under great stress, and all were dictated to scribes. I cannot read nor write, so I would intentionally express myself in a roundabout way so that confidential information would not be learned by the scribes.
I am sure the elders will take that into consideration. Now to proceed. Is Semaya here?
Yes, my lord.
Were you sent by Yaush to inspect the fortress of Kiryat Yearim, where Hoshaya was in charge?
Yes, my lord.
What was the main purpose of your mission?
To determine if Hoshaya was carrying out Yaush's orders. To see if he was making the proper preparations for the defense of the base, my lord.
And what did you find, Semaya?
My lord, I made a thorough inspection, as Yaush had instructed. And I found that Hoshaya was carrying out Yaush's commands to the letter. But, my lord...
Yes, Semaya?
I found the spirit lacking.
Please explain yourself.
Yes, my lord. In speaking to the soldiers under his command, and in speaking to Hoshaya himself, I found that Hoshaya was highly critical of the king, and he had many doubts concerning the policies of the king.
Semaya, would you have reason to believe that his attitude towards the king could possibly be translated into treasonable actions against the state if the opportunity arose?
I do, my lord.
Hoshaya?
Yes, my lord.
Did you know a certain prophet called Uriah?
Yes, my lord.
Would you consider the relationship to be one of friendship?
It would be an honor, my lord. But our acquaintance was not close. I heard him speak.
Hoshaya, you are not a child. You know that this prophet spoke against the king.
That is true, my lord.
This prophet was an enemy of the state.
My lord, I beg to differ.
Your opinion at this time does not matter, Hoshaya.
Yes, my lord.
Hoshaya, was it customary for letters from Jerusalem to Lachish to pass through your fort?
Yes, my lord, that would be the route taken.
Confidential letters? Official letters?
Yes, my lord.
For example, from the king to Commander Yaush?
Yes, my lord.
Do you remember one such letter from the king ordering Yaush to arrest the prophet Uriah?
My lord, I would not read a confidential letter. Anyway, my lord, I cannot read nor write.
You could have easily gotten a scribe to read it for you.
My lord, I am a soldier. I would not read a letter from my superiors which was not meant for my eyes.
Chiron, officer of the guards, please step forward. What order did you receive from Yaush concerning the prophet Uriah?
To arrest him, my lord, and take him in chains to Jerusalem.
What happened when you went to arrest him?
Uriah had fled, my lord.
Had Hoshaya anything to do with the prophet's flight?
My lord, I learned that Hoshaya had been there prior to my visit and had warned the prophet of a possible arrest.
Did you speak to Hoshaya afterwards about this matter?
Yes, my lord. It was Hoshaya who told me where the prophet had fled, and shortly thereafter Uriah was apprehended.
He did this? Hoshaya told you where the prophet could be found?
Yes, my lord. Hoshaya said that although he wished the prophet to be free, if his superiors wished the opposite, then he had no alternative but to comply with his superiors' orders.
My lord!
Hoshaya, you wish to speak?
My lord, I am a loyal soldier of the king. That is true that I warned Uriah of impending danger, but this was not because of any letter I had seen. I knew that the king would not permit any opposition, and I heard rumors that he would act against Uriah for what he was preaching.
And rightly so. This is war. The state cannot permit opposition when its very life is threatened. Don't you agree, Hoshaya?
My lord, I don't know.
You don't know. It is not for a soldier to question the wisdom of his king.
Yes, my lord. That is the code of the soldier, but...
There are no buts, Hoshaya.
My lord, what if the king contravenes the laws of God?
City elders, It takes no great insight to see what infection boils within the soul of this man before you.
Yes. I have heard the words of Jeremiah and Uriah, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if you find a man, if there be any that do justly, that seek truth.
City elders, Hoshea now prosecutes himself with his mouthing of seditious talk.
My lord, our king has become the willing tool of wicked courtiers. He walks after strange gods. He trusts in lying words. The poor are oppressed, and the slave is not freed.
Hoshea!
The king asked the nation to commit suicide because of his stupid policies. We need not be at war with Babylon now.
These are treasonous statements, Hoshea. You realize that you are convicting yourself through your own word?
My lord, if I committed a crime against my people and my God, it was not in harboring such thoughts as I've just expressed. It was that I merely thought them and did not act upon them. It was that as a soldier, I was in every deed and in every action loyal to a wicked king.
There is no point in my continuing the questioning. City elders, you may examine the letters if you wish and ask any additional questions if you wish. But I suggest we waste no time and proceed quickly to the verdict.
My lord! My lord! My lord!
Samaya, why do you come in now and interrupt the proceedings?
My lord, it's extremely important.
Quickly, then, quickly.
My lord, the Babylonians have arrived. The city is on fire!
Ancient Lachish was burned to the ground. More than 2,500 years passed before Starkey found the buried pieces of broken pottery, which brought the trial of Hoshea to light again. The soldier's fate remains a mystery. But as a society, we still debate the questions of loyalty raised by his trial. Many questions still remain in my own mind. Is the picture correct? A soldier torn between two loyalties, sworn to serve and obey his king, yet convinced that the Lord spoke through the lips of Jeremiah and Uriah. Did Hoshea convince the court of his innocence? Or was he convicted and condemned to die before the city was destroyed? I always felt that had Starkey lived, he might have come up with some additional clues. But now it appears that the answers to these questions lie buried in the dust of Lachish.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Moshe Greenberg, Professor of Biblical Studies at the University of Pennsylvania and Associate Editor of the Journal of Biblical Literature. Dr. Greenberg.
We have just been treated to an imaginative recreation of one possible setting for the Lachish letters. This recreation is based on the Bible and shows nicely how the Bible can illuminate the Lachish letters. But how do these letters illuminate the Bible? The Lachish letters, like most archaeological finds, shed light on the background of the biblical age, rather than directly upon biblical events or personages. Archaeological finds are too haphazard, and the data of the Bible too scanty for us to expect many direct connections between the two. Yet the Lachish letters are infinitely precious to us. Why? Anything written by an ancient Israelite tells us how the Hebrew language was actually used in biblical times. The Lachish letters are the largest body of Hebrew writings from those times preserved outside the Bible. They are true specimens of the Hebrew used during the last days of the kingdom of Judah. How thrilling, then, to find that their language is identical with that of contemporary biblical books. For example, the book of Jeremiah. The old suspicion that biblical Hebrew was an artificial, literary language has been dispelled once for all. Phrases and whole sentences in these letters might have been lifted bodily from Scripture. And to find that out of 26 proper names mentioned in the letters, 18 occur in the Bible only in or near the age of Jeremiah, to find that demonstrates how faithfully Scripture has preserved the color of its age. In this way, archaeology has often authenticated the local color of the Bible. And as the Bible's trustworthiness in incidental details receives more and more proof, our confidence in its general historicity is correspondingly bolstered. So even if the prophet of the Lachish letters may not have been the biblical Uriah of Kiryat Yearim, these letters are not less precious to us. For through them we have gained a surer hold on the times in which Uriah and Jeremiah lived, and on the great book which tells their story.
Thank you, Dr. Greenberg. Eternal Light drama today, The Secret of the Lachish Letters, written by Erwin Gonchak, was the last in this series of programs of great archaeological finds. It is based on Voices from the Past by Azrael Eisenberg, published by Abelard Schumann Limited, and on the Lachish Letters by Professor N.H. Torchiner, published in 1938 by Oxford University Press on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose, Guy Sorrell, Joseph Bell, Joe DeSantis, William Mason, Ivor Francis, Leon Janney, Alan Manson, and Richard Hamilton. Robert Hastings played Magnus. Next week, The Eternal Light will present the first in a series of dramas marking the observance of the Civil War centennial. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.